Like, I know the power of how, you know, how morale is in the room. And mm-hmm. I've seen it work on multiple different levels. Like I grew up with working with my dad as an electrician, and he always used to have me talking to all the old dudes all the time, mm-hmm. you know, and never to be like nervous about these situations or like, you know, be afraid about it. Like he's always told me, like, stand up straight, keep your head high, you know, don't drag your feet. And that level of, you know, confidence, especially being a, you know, a black man and having demanding that kind of respect, because respect is free, is something that mm-hmm. I really try to hold paramount in, like, you know, just my overall conversations.
Hey, welcome to the Current Mood podcast. This is your host, Jacqueline Marie. Current Mood is a series exploring self-care techniques, mental models, and core patterns propelling our increasingly digital lives. Through conversations with founders, entrepreneurs, educators, and executives across creative disciplines, I get a chance to learn about things that work for people in their everyday lives.
In this next conversation, I had the chance to sit down with Stephen Irby, also known as Steve Sweatpants across the internet. Steve is an award-winning photographer based in New York and the co-creator of Street Dreams magazine and creative agency. We had a chance to really cover a lot. I think the parts that resonated the most with me were around, number one, passion and what following your dreams looks like. And number two, what our relationships with our loved ones look like and how we navigate those and have even, you know, tough conversations sometimes. And also we really dug into, you know, aging family and, you know, illness and loss and things like that, that, you know, things that are very real to the human experience that sometimes we don't talk about. Yeah, we had a really insightful talk, and it's definitely one of the longer conversations on Current Mood. So I hope you enjoy and take something from this.
You ready? Okay, because we're already recording.
Oh, damn.
I know. Sorry, Jarrell. Hey, what's going on over there, bro?
He's like, well, what are you doing? Are you taking photos? Are you taking photos?
All right. So let's get started. 4 hours later. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me, honestly.
How long have we known each other?
Oh man, maybe. Damn, I'm 33 now.
Damn, you're going to the ages right now.
I have to do the age thing. I probably met you back when I was around 27 to 28, like when we maybe like 1 or 2 years into Street Dreams.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Maybe it was just like super fresh though, you know.
Okay.
But I know we met. That has to be almost like damn near 6 years ago then.
Yeah. Wow.
Jesus Christ.
I have like a lot of memories of you from photos that you've taken.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure I'm not the only one that can say that.
That's the way that I have to remember things, because I can't have a bad short-term memory. So I will definitely never forget the time that it was, you know, you and I and a couple of the other homies. I think Taku was there also. We all got locked on the roof in Chinatown, and it was like 90 degrees outside. And I felt so bad. I was like, man, I let these people get locked on the roof. I was calling my friends like, can you come save us?
Someone did save us. Who was it?
It was my friend. I haven't seen him in a long time, but Matt Dosher. Shout out to Matt. We would have probably still been on that roof to this day.
We'd have been like melted
yeah.
on the roof.
We've been part of the roof. Pretty much texture at this point.
Yeah, so I wanted to get you in here because I wanted to talk about some real shit.
Yeah.
Including like life, your yeah. life in particular. And just kind of like hear about your journey.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you talked about it a little bit before.
A little bit here and there.
A little bit here and there.
Yeah, a dabble. A dibble dabble. But yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So can you tell the people who you are?
So my full government is Stephen John Irby. I was born in East Flatbush, raised in Jamaica, Queens, Rosedale, Queens all day. Shout out to Queens. And I currently have been living in Bed-Stuy for the last 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a full-time photographer, and I am the co-founder and co-creative director of Street Dreams Magazine and Creative Agency. So that consumes a lot of my time, whether it's, you know, executive producing on projects or creating the magazine or taking photos myself. You know, that's pretty much what my everyday includes. So You know, really grateful to be doing that because, you know, that is something that I love to do. And I couldn't keep a job in the first place. I got fired every time. So this is the best job I've ever had.
Yeah.
So I'm really grateful for these opportunities that, you know, to do what I love, you know.
So at what point did you like bite the bullet and you're like, all right, I'm going to make the, you know, what I love doing into a job?
It was a very, very long and hard transition in order to, you know, make that decision. Yeah. I didn't make that decision for myself. It was more or less like the opportunities in my life that kind of just kept on reminding me, like, you know, this is, you know, what I'm really, you know, what I should be doing. So I remember one of my last like retail jobs, well, my last retail job was REI. And I remember, like, you know, I was really hyped to first get that job because I was really broke at the time. And when I got that job, it had good benefits. So, like, mm-hmm. you know, all this crazy stuff, getting half off my Metro cards. I was like, man, I'm set. And then I started working the job, like, for the first month and, you know, a couple of months, I was really good. You know, I was leading the team in sales at the register and all this stuff.
I can imagine. Like, I could really imagine.
I was selling me some memberships, you know, get your co-op. And then... You know, that was around the same time I was taking photos as well, too. And I was, you know, started getting more into the photography community and really, you know, going more into like the Instagram community as well, too. Mm-hmm. Street Dreams is really, that concept of Street Dreams is really growing. And we was really, you know, figuring out our place to make like either the first magazine, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. And I was just becoming late to work all the time. And then I wasn't late to work because I was lazy. I was late because, you know, I would be out shooting photos or I'll be out like, you know, talking to Eric, you know, about some game plan that we wanted to work on. It was always something else I was rather doing than my actual job. And I was like, why am I investing into this membership but, you know, besides investing into myself?
Yeah.
And then I got fired. And then when the dude fired me, and I was like, thank God, man, because I couldn't just do this myself. I needed to be pushed out the nest.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And I started to fly after that. And it was really dope. And I'm honestly happy that he fired me because I don't know what happened. You know, not to say that I wouldn't have made that decision myself, but like, you know, forceful things kind of had to happen for me to make decisions. So
That
was really, it was really important for me.
That's life. Sometimes you need like the extra nudge.
Yeah.
Or in that case, just like you're fired.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, you're great and you're done. I was like, thank you. And I'm going to start Street Dreams.
Is that like a Nas reference or?
Eric and Mike will take all the credit for the actual creation of the name Street Dreams.
Yeah.
When Eric and Mike first started, Street Dreams, it was a Tumblr. It was just a straight up Tumblr on a website. I mean, a straight like Tumblr page.
Yeah.
And then when I met up with Eric through my barber, AJ, we was walking over the Williamsburg Bridge and we were speaking about the concept of Street Dreams. I was like, you know, I'm from Queens, right? Like, you know, like this is, you know, this resonates on a different kind of level. So all the people that we were linking with at the time, we decided to, you know, put them in the magazine as well, too, because at first it was just supposed to be just me and Eric as like a photo editorial as like Steve Sweatpants versus Eric Veloso. But then after I was chilling,
it was a versus? Because like a battle?
It was a battle. I'm obsessed with hip hop and wrestling. So it was pretty much that, and, you know, everything in a nutshell with that. So, but yeah, we decided to, you know, keep that moniker with Street Dreams. And I feel like that really not only represents, you know, everybody knows what that means for hip hop, but it has a different kind of connotation with it too. So I think it's really, you know, it serves multiple purposes.
Right. So was it first like iPhone photography, or were you always shooting with like a real camera, or like,
when I first started shooting, I kind of played around with the camera a little bit, like back in like in the Hypebeast message. I've been on the internet for a long time. You know what I mean?
So like, you grew up on the internet.
I grew up on the internet. Yeah, you know, like I definitely had my MySpace. You know what I mean? If you're really from New York, you had a Skonex page. I definitely had Skonex. You know what I mean?
Wait. Skonex. I'm not from New York. Tell me about
Skonex. Was like the OG Facebook before Facebook. You know, and it was like all the hood classics. You know, were on there, and I definitely had a Skonex page. You know, we were on the internet. You know, so when we first decided to create the magazine. I mean, even like shooting photos myself, a lot of it started off with like, you know, I definitely had like a reference point of like, you know, kind of playing around with cameras and understanding a little bit, but I never could afford one. It was just always like this thing, like it's just dumb expensive.
Right, right.
I remember that I was really cool, but back in the Hypebeast message board days, like I was really cool with like Joshua Kissy. I would speak about him into like,
street etiquette.
I would speak about him to like, you know, the wheels fall off, you know. He was really a really important part of like this whole like, you know, black community of a young black creatives that were coming into the city from like, you know, the Brooklyns and the Queens and the Bronx. And like, we were all like vibing together off of like, you know, over music and clothes.
Right.
But then we slowly started to tap into photography. And like, he was one of the first people to kind of like, you know, he was getting his fits off and he had a good camera. I was like, yo, man, he's not taking no shitty iPhone photos. Like, this man is getting his fits off.
Yeah.
And then when I started working at GameStop, I got reintroduced to Instagram again by one of the customers that came into the store randomly. And then I found out that, like, you know, you don't need to cop a camera. Like, you could just take these photos off of your, you know, your iPhone or your iPad or whatever, taking your photos with at the time. So, yeah, that was like around 2013 that I've been doing that. So, just been a kind of crazy.
It was a cool 7 years.
Like, iPhone photography is definitely something I think is, or mobile photography in general, which is really important. It's something that's very foundation, is a good foundation to have. And like, you know, as long as you, you know, have the right kind of perspective, like, you can really go crazy with that. So
yeah.
Shout out to my mom's, shout out to the family plan. Cause if I didn't have that, I would not be here with you today.
We all had to start somewhere. You know?
Yeah, my family plan.
Yo, but where did the, like, whole sweatpants thing come in? Is that, like, you just like to be cozy? Or, like, what's the deal?
So
you're wearing, he's wearing sweatpants right now.
I'm actually on, like, I'm on brand today.
You are so on brand.
Yeah, I'm terribly on brand. I was telling you earlier, I found these on the floor this morning. I was like, well, this is it. I'm about to throw these bad boys on. Steve's sweatpants is, well, first, I used to call myself, when I first got on Instagram, my first Instagram name was, Troll Bellamy and like Bill Bellamy, you know, because I thought that was hilarious.
Yes.
And then people, you know, started to call me Trill for short. And I was like, that is not my name.
Trill?
Like, yo, Trill Bellamy, yo, Trill. I was like, nah, that's not cool. So
yeah, no.
I had to start to like think about like I had to really dig deep inside. I had to dig deep inside myself. I was like, am I really Bill Bellamy, you know, Trill Bellamy?
Are you?
I was like, no, I'm Steve. And I was like, what do I like to do? And I was like, I like to wear sweatpants. And then
that's deep, bro.
It is really deep. And then the more I started to think about it, like my mom was like, my mom always used to make fun of me because every time there was like a chore to do, like wash the dishes or like take out the trash or like, you know, do your homework. I was like, oh, yeah, but let me put these sweatpants on first. And then like, I would just kind of like drift off and go away somewhere. Or that was my excuse to, like, you know, get away from something. So at the end of the day, these sweatpants is just I like to be comfortable and I want people around me to be comfortable.
Okay. So does the sweatpants go, does it go deeper? Does the comfort go deeper than the clothes?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, I want a comfortable life. I want a comfortable work ethic. I want a comfortable, like, everything has to have this level of comfort, you know, where I'm completely aware with who I am. And at the same time, I'm comfortable in those situations. So I could be, you know, it could be anywhere from the street corner to, like, you know, even like a podcast like today, like I will be the same kind of person.
Yeah. You're pretty consistent. I respect that.
I'm not saying that I don't have my moments. I definitely do. Yeah, but yeah. Like for the most part, you know what I mean? Like I try to keep that level of, you know, consistency and coziness because that's way more important to me than, you know, being all riled up and all that kind of shit.
Word.
I'm not here for that, but I do get tight. So I might have to wear tight sweatpants those days.
you seem like to me like pretty confident.
For the most part.
I don't know if that relates to, you know, being comfortable and like wanting other people to feel like that, but like how do you maintain that consistent like level?
It's really important, you know, and I'm very self-aware of, you know, just like my overall emotions throughout the day. Mm-hmm. And you know, I try to have my confidence project onto other people because I want them to feel confident about themselves also. I know the power of how, you know, how morale is in the room. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it work on multiple different levels. Like I grew up with working with my dad as an electrician and he always used to have me talking to all the old dudes all the time, mm-hmm. you know, and never to be like nervous about these situations or like, you know, be afraid about it. Like he's always told me like, stand up straight, keep your head high, you know, don't drag your feet. And that level of, you know, confidence, especially being a, you know, a black man and having and demanding that kind of respect because respect is free is something that I am. Mm-hmm. I really try to hold paramount in like, you know, just my overall conversations. And I don't like it to make it a big deal, you know, but I think it's really important to have like this level of confidence and not to say that I don't, you know, have my really, you know, dark days too. Like I get really depressed about things all the time, but like, you know, I try to make sure to remind myself that, you know, I love myself and, you know, and I love people as well too. So they should feel loved, you know, I mean, as cheesy as that sounds, I think it's important.
No, it's not cheesy. It's honest.
Nah, I'd be like, nah, I just think it's really important.
Yeah. Is your family like that? Like you mentioned your dad.
My dad is definitely the most confident and also stubborn person in the universe. So yeah, he's the ultimate thug. His confidence is is key in my confidence. My mother is also my mother is honestly, like, my mom is one of the strongest women or strongest people that I've ever met. And I know that everybody says that about their parent, but, like, especially, like, my mom coming from Brownsville, everything that she went through back in the day, like, especially, like, in the '60s, the same Brownsville never ran, never will. And, you know, my mom, you know, she never runs, you know, like, she's always, you know, faces things head on. And she can tell you that, you know, she's not perfect either, but, like, you know, her level of dedication and persistence towards doing the right thing just motivates me every single time. Like, nah, if she could do this, you know, no, she's out here thugging it out. She's like 5'3". Like, I could do this. Like, you know. So yeah, my mom. Yeah, between my parents are definitely a big source of inspiration for my confidence.
Yeah, you can see it. That's
it's everything.
It's literally everything. I mean, I've definitely struggled with it, and it kind of goes. This definitely goes back to how you were raised, right? Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. I can honestly ramble about that for days. it's really important, and I'm really grateful by having, like, you know, both of my parents raise me on that, raise me to know, just to be self-aware of all the situations.
Yeah. Yeah. I know we talked a lot about family. I want to come back to that. Mm-hmm. But what I want to get into is self-care.
Yeah.
And mental health a little bit. Kind of buzzy topics right now. But that's kind of what Current Mood is about. It's about deconstructing your everyday kind of self-care and awareness to make you a better entrepreneur and a better person. Mm-hmm. So what does self-care mean to you?
Self-care to me, you know, it means a bunch of different things, but I think what it comes down to is, to keeping it really simple, is loving yourself and finding ways to, you know, keep your life simple and tend to those loving, relationships, whether it's through creativity, whether it's through family, whether it's through friends, whether it's through anything that you can really find that source of happiness, which is, you know, actually beneficial to your life. You know, I think that is really important for self-care, and getting lost into pretty much like the systematic routine is something that's really dangerous that, you know, everybody kind of goes through. I struggle with that myself, you know.
What do you mean a systematic routine?
Sometimes I like to say this thing all the time that my pops taught me, is like, don't live to pay your rent. And what that means to me is, you know, don't spend your life chasing temporary things. You have to find ways to do things that are fulfilling for your life in the long run. And then whatever that means to you, like whether it's financial, whether it's spiritual, I really hold that true to my heart. So it sounds really simple, but I really just try to do the things that I love. If I know that I've been, you know, really grinding hard for the last couple of days, I'm going to play Borderlands 3 on my PlayStation for the next 6 hours, you know, and sit there and decompress, you know, and I think that's really important. And if there's some other days that, like, you know, if I know that I've been really depressed for the last couple of days because I've been, you know, sitting there, like, you know, just working on a bunch of things. I would literally just need to walk out the house and walk down the block. I would just walk down the block.
Yeah.
Like, no destination, like, no goal, like, literally just walk out just to fill.
That's my favorite.
To fill my lungs, you know, fill my lungs with some air. Right, you know what
right,
I mean?
Right,
so
right.
I think just tending, being self-aware is the most important part about self-care, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, just trying to be really present with that is really important.
Yeah. Do you have, like, any, like, daily practices or anything that keeps you in check?
I do have, like, times in the morning. I don't do it all the time, but I do have times in the morning where I would just sit in, like, in complete silence, you know, and would just literally just have, you know, my thoughts to myself, especially, like, in the age of where there's so much information everywhere. It's so easy to access. Like, you could open it. I'm one of those people that I could wake up on my phone and then side scroll on Twitter for the next 2 hours. And the next thing you know, it's like, what haven't been looking at? You know, I've just been feeding my brain with, like, you know, all this different news and this and that and all this other, you know, the things going on in the world. So sometimes I think it's just really important to just to kind of turn off all this kind of stuff and then just really just have those kind of moments in the morning where you, you know, you sit there and contemplate to yourself and just thinking about what's going on in your own life, you know, and just to kind of hear your own thoughts. I usually like to wake up. I haven't been doing a lot lately, but I usually have to wake up pretty early and, you know, just get, like, maybe drink some orange juice or drink some water or something like that and just sit there and really just chill. Sometimes I listen to music, sometimes there's no music, but I really just need that time to, like, you know, sit there, whether it's 20 minutes, whether it's, you know, whatever time period that is, like, I just need that.
And, you time?
Yeah. I was just complaining about that earlier. I was like, I just need that. I need, when I go, you know, I have a couple of days just to sit to myself and just, it's going to be amazing.
But, you also travel a lot, right?
Yeah.
So, like, how do you maintain your, like, mental a good mental state when you're like on the go?
Traveling is a very sometimes it's a difficult thing for me, and yeah. I'm really grateful for the opportunity to work and, you know, bounce around to places, but it's really draining, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Draining, and you know, there is a lot of
Really cool on Instagram.
It looks great on the highlights. Until you're actually editing photos at, like, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning with a deadline that you need to turn around by the next day. Like, that stuff is cool. Yeah, but on the gram, it's fire. Yeah, it's great. And I'm super
real life.
I'm super grateful for that kind of stuff, honestly. And I really, every time I get really lost in the thought, like, man, I'm just so tired of getting on this damn plane. I really think about the time that I used to work at GameStop. And I couldn't go anywhere.
Right.
Like, literally, I couldn't go anywhere. I had to, like, beg my mom and, you know, my family used to go to Disney World all the time. I had to, like, beg my mom, like, yo, mom, can you, like, you know, get my ticket so I can come out to Disney World? Like, I mean, like, that was my life when I was, like, 23, you know, 24 years old. And I don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah.
And I just really had to, like, you know, accept the whole, like, totality of you know, how grand the situation is. Like, you know, it does suck to be bouncing around everywhere, but, like, how ill it is that you get to actually, you know, do this. So I was like, you know, let me just shut up. And then, like, you know, just find that 20 minutes in the morning to kind of, like, decompress.
Yeah.
And I'll be fine, you know.
Yeah.
But I do think there is a balance. And I do think that balance is important, especially for me being such an introverted, naturally an introverted kind of person. I don't like leaving the crib. I really don't like leaving the house. If I leave the house,
I feel that
when there's something to do, then I will do it.
You're not just leaving for the sake of leaving.
No.
Yeah.
No. That's why the random walks are very important, because like everything is so destination based. So like sometimes just having the freedom just to walk around and have your thoughts walk around as well too is just, you know, really like
let your thoughts walk around.
Yeah.
That's so crucial.
Yeah.
Especially in New York, man. Like. It's like nonstop grind here. There's always something going on. There's always a siren. There's always some crazy person outside. Mm-hmm. There's always someone yelling. Like New York has no chill.
No.
You have to create that chill.
Yeah. And you have to be very aware that you are, like, New York is about the essence of, like, things that are not in your control and what you can actually control.
Right.
And understanding that balance is very important.
Yeah.
Because you can get caught up. Like, you know, easily, you know what I mean? I mean, you start, you know, going to meetings and seeing all these other kind of people, like, you know, like I said, it's a blessing, but, you know, it is something that you need to understand the balance of when to go and when to chill.
Yeah. So when did you kind of first start becoming, like, self-aware? Or were you always kind of pretty in tune with your thoughts?
Well, I got, when I was 18, I used to work at Express. Well, I used to work at Sears and Express.
Man, you had jobs.
And I had jobs. You would think I'm Jamaican. I had jobs. At the time.
Well, wait, are you Jamaican?
I'm from Jamaica, Queens.
Oh, wait a minute.
That counts. My best friend's Jamaican. shout out to Dijon and Demray. So I was working at Sears at the time, Sears and Express at Green Acres Mall. And I was, you know, I was being cheap. I was like 18, 19. I was like, man, let me just walk home from work. I remember somebody's like, do you want to take a cab? You know, just with me back to the hood. I was like, nah, that's cool. You know, we always walk through this movie theater parking lot, and then like through the movie theater, you know, you're just pretty much on your way home. So I'm walking home, and these dudes was walking up behind me, but I was like, I didn't really pay no attention to it because I was like, you know, people just walking around the hood anyway. If you know anything about Rosedale, anyone who's listening knows anything about doesn't know about Rosedale. Rosedale is in Southeast Jamaica, Queens, and it's pretty much like the hood with houses, you know? So everybody has the perception that, you know, like, oh man, these are some beautiful cribs. Like, this is nice houses. But in Rosedale, people began shot like all the time. It's like the classic, the classic Queen story of, like, you know, of like these nice cribs and like just really hood situations.
Shook ones.
Yeah, exactly. So then I was walking, I will never forget this. I had the U2 edition iPod, I had the black and red joint, and I was listening to the Kanye West and Common song on my way home off of like late registration, I believe. And the dudes came up to me, and he came up behind me and hit me with a sock full of rocks, and hit me in the back of my head, and then hit me on the side of my face and completely shattered my cheekbone. My right lip is still partially numb to this day. They eventually got my wallet and took my wallet and so all that stuff like that. And I, no lie, I only had like $2 and a MetroCard on me. I don't think the MetroCard had money. So they took my wallet.
Jokes on you guys.
Yes, like, you guys ain't got shit. But they did take my iPod, and I was sick about that.
Man.
And yeah, so I ran. I managed to get away from them and broke free. And then I had to get like facial reconstruction surgery. I had to get 3 metal plates in my face.
Oh my God.
And you know, I was all messed up. I pretty much dropped out of college. And I had a lot of time to reflect on. I had a lot of time to reflect on, you know, what's really important. And and I had to really understand that, like, you know, life, if they would have hit me a little bit closer to my temple, I would have been dead. They pretty much, the doctor said they were like six inches away from my, you know, killing me.
Is that
much.
What the scar is right here?
That's my scars. Wow. The scars on the right side of my face. Dang. Yeah. So that situation at first, like, you know, I was just really, you know, tight and like, you know, mad, like, how could this happen to me? And then, you know, embarrassed and all this kind of stuff. And then I eventually just had to just, you know, say, like, I have to control what I can control. And I need to, one of those things is my happiness, I need to be in charge of that. Nobody else is going to make me happy besides myself. Mm-hmm. And then the people who do love me, like my family and my cousins and all the people that were there for me at the time, you know, I just need to be more aware of that, you know, aware of those situations and be around them more. So, you know, I just really, that was, when it happened to me, like, I was like 18, 19, that was, you know, that was a long ass time ago. But at the same time, it was, it was an important step in my life to really start to understand, like, you know, life is not guaranteed to anyone. And at the same time, like, what are you actually doing here while you're here?
Right.
So yeah, that shit woke me the fuck up.
So what are you doing here while you're here?
Everything right here for me right now is, you know, eating that jerk chicken in the morning. That was amazing. but all jokes aside is being present, you know, and also, like, I feel, especially the stuff that we're doing with Street Dreams is, I feel like we're like the gatekeepers of history. You know, I feel like it's our obligation to bridge the gap, you know, for the past, the present, and the future. And then we had a really interesting age group where, you know, we know what it's like to grow up with the internet. Like, you know, I know what it's like to grow up with hip hop. Like, you know, I grew up with my uncle being in a fucking R&B group. You know what I mean? Like,
R&B group?
Full Force.
Your uncle was in Full Force?
Yeah, Bowlegaloo.
Yep.
So I grew up around this stuff all my life. So, like, who else is going to tell this story and with that actually loves it? Not only loves the story, but loves the people involved. Like, I'm not trying to exploit this. Like, no, I love being black and I love telling black stories.
Right.
So, I mean, finding ways just to expand that palette to not make it only be as, you know, as I know how it could be, you know, a little biased sometimes, like, those stories are important for everyone. Like, I think there's so many different parallels that you can run for everyone in society. So, you know, we feel like we're the gatekeepers of history with that kind of stuff. So if I'm here, like, until, like, you know, if I were to drop outside today, I know that I did, you know, I was doing my due diligence to make sure that, like, you know, I'm protecting, like, you know, New York and also my family's name.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So what would you say are, like, in line with the top, like, 3 stories that you were honored to tell?
Illest stories that we got to tell so far. First one is, I mean, there's so many, but the first one I always, that pops up in my head, that always brings a smile to my face is my OG, Joseph Rodriguez. Joseph Rodriguez is an incredible human being, one of the best photographers known to man. And he's like a 68 year old, you know, smooth talking brother from Brooklyn. And it's honestly, like, an honor to even have him hit me up on some regular casual stuff to curate a magazine with him. We are working on his gallery show that I'm executive producing with a couple of other people as well, too. That's coming up this April. Mm-hmm. Joseph Rodriguez is, you know, he's timeless, you know, and I think that especially with my father having his strokes last year and not being able to talk as much. He's 59. Joseph being 68 years old, being able to, you know, walking around and doing his thing like that, like, you know, we need to really, you know, champion people like that while they're still here. Mm-hmm. And Joseph, my man, 100 grand all day. Mm-hmm. Other story that is really dope is just the overall, just the first issue alone. Like, I can't even believe, I remember when we were talking about the magazines, like, we're really about to make a magazine, dog? Like, what the hell are you talking about? What? This weird Canadian dude talking about magazines. Like, how are you going to pay for this, bro? So that's my whole thing. I was really completely, like, unbelievable that we even created the first one. Creating the first magazine was pretty much like my college degree. You know what I mean? I didn't graduate college. I dropped out of college. So us completing something, that was like the first time I really, like, completed something, like, in my life besides a video game. And so I'm like, dang. That was a big deal for us. And the third story is, it's like, it's like 3A and 3B. When we got the New York Times feature in 2015 or 2016,
yeah,
I was with Eric that day, and I was walking home from, we just got off the train for like Merlin Broadway, and I had the newspaper, and I fucking broke down and cried like right next to that Popeyes. Like I was bawling because it was crazy. Like
that is, that's
it's insane. It's like, it's the New York Times, to, you know, like I just told you how much we, you know, we're pretty much like history buffs. The New York Times is like getting something in stone. So that
and it was,
in print. Right. Like, and I had that joint framed in my crib, like to this day. Like my dad was still in good health when that happened. Like my grandpa was still here. Like, you know, there was a lot of my uncle was still here. There was a lot of people in my family that were still here that was, we were able to like, you know, celebrate this together as a family. Not only with my blood family, but also with my new family with you know, with Eric and Mike and the rest of the Street Dreams team. So yeah, that really messed me up. And that was really amazing. And the 3B part was like the last gallery that my dad was able to attend when he was in good health. Like it just kind of makes it really special. Like we did a gallery at the Sony Square space maybe about two years ago now. Mm-hmm. And you know, he came through all dappered up, like, you know, smelling good, sitting like in the Spider-Man chair. And he was just talking about like how, like, you know, how impressed he was. And I kept on saying like, oh man, this is nothing. We got more stuff cooking. And then he had his strokes like 2 months later. And it just made me really appreciate how important that day was, you know, all those photos and all those memories. And like, you know, he's still here with us still, like, you know, today. And like, he just definitely has a different life now. But it just makes all the things that we're doing more important when things like that start to happen in your life.
Yeah.
So I was like, nah, that was really dope.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, you're so young and you've already had 3 bangers.
There's a lot more to tell, it hurts, honestly there's a lot more that happened in general, but those just stand out so much to me that like that I know, like if I were blessed to have kids that would be something like, at the time I got in the New York Times I was crying like a baby. And then that's one of the things that we talk about. I will talk about all the time.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned your dad a bunch of times.
Yeah, but,
you know, That's a tough subject, especially as you get older and you know, people, we're not getting any younger, right?
No.
Like, you know, like, I mean, for me, like when I went home around the holidays, it was like a wake up call. It was like, I mean, luckily, like, you know, everyone's in good health. My grandmother's in her 90s, like, another grandmother's in her 80s.
And that's amazing. Amazing.
Yeah. Like she's out here. She's sending me text messages. She has an iPhone.
Oh, see, that's crazy. That's even wilder. Like, grandma sending you emojis. Yeah, exactly. The emojis is always trippy. It's like, grandma, you are wilding.
Emoji of choice. The ladybug and the elephant.
Oh, wow. She's classy. Wow. I wasn't expecting that.
Shout out Nana Betty. Anyway, yeah, but this holiday season going home was just like, and coming back to New York, because I just moved here 2 years ago. So this is like the second time I've come back after a holiday. And like, it was just weird. It's like, I don't live near my family. And like, that's been the hardest part about being here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not gonna lie, like the last month, like January, was really fucking hard for me. Like, I came back like depressed.
Yeah.
And just like, fuck, like, what am I doing with my life?
Yeah.
Like, what am I doing if it's not for them?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But,
I totally know where you're coming from from that.
Yeah. I just want to talk about it because like, we don't really talk about, well, we talk about family, how it's important, but like, how are we dealing with the, you know, aging family members and people who are getting sick and illness, and like, how do you even broach the subject or even talk about it or comfort someone? Like, where do you even start? You know,
that is I think that's something that I guess all of us will continue to figure out ways to cope and deal with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I even remember, you know, just like, I even feel like, you know, especially with some of the situations like this, when my pops, like with him,
mm-hmm.
So he had the anniversary of when he's had his stroke is coming up on February 18th. So, you know, it was a really weird time for me for that, because, you know, when everything went down, he was still talking and all that kind of stuff like that. And then like 2 months into it, he got really sick. Mm-hmm. And then the doctors said at the time that he only had like a week left to live. And, you know, I don't, like, my mom is a Jehovah's Witness, so I don't like curse in front of my mom, but I definitely dropped that F-bomb in front of her that day, because I lost it. And then I start to immediately, and I'm trying to figure, you know, you try to figure out, what does your parents mean to you? And I think the biggest thing, especially if, you know, growing up in any kind of situation, having a parent is like the ultimate kind of security blanket, you know, it's like the ultimate safety net. There was, always this feeling like they're just, even though you know life is short, you're just always like, man, my parents ain't gonna go anywhere.
Right. You always think that. They're just there.
They're just there.
They always call.
My dad used to be the dude who, you know, call me like just talking shit on the phone all day. You know, he would call me and bother me in the morning. I was like, you know, or sometimes we would sit there and like, you know, just, you know, go back and forth, just figuring out what's going on. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you just can't talk to him anymore. Like he just can't speak. And that was really, really difficult for me. So I guess.
He can't speak now?
He speaks like a little bit. Like if he says, I asked my mom basically what's the last thing he said. And she said, you know, he was watching the national anthem. He started crying. She's like, what's wrong with you, man?
So he's got a sense of humor.
So he still has something there. You know, it's definitely stuff that's still there.
Does he write or express himself in any other way?
He can't move his extremities like that and all that stuff like that. So we had to do the whole physical therapy thing and all that stuff like that.
Oh, man.
So it's tough. Like, you know, and my mom has to take care of him now. And I think the biggest thing about family and like just like the death and the grief that everything that kind of happens with that is the reluctance to accept what happens.
Right.
And also the same thing of, you know, I'm not in control of everything and you control what you can control. And at the same time, you have to make the best of, you have to really embrace the times that you're here with, you know, your loved ones. My dad can't talk anymore and they really, and all that kind of stuff like that. I swear to God, like the memories that we have of like fishing and then like, you know, us like, you know, him dancing around in the house with James Brown or something like that. And like, you know, us arguing and like, you know, everything, like those memories are so strong and alive in my heart and in my mind that I swear to you that they would be, it's like it's happening right now.
Mm.
And I'm really grateful that I had such a close connection with my dad and that we did have a falling out, but we did make up and be able to actually, you know, communicate all these things together. And I got to tell him all the dreams that I want to do and all that stuff like that. So like, you know, I'm really grateful that I was able, you know, not only to have a pops, but, you know, also for him to teach me this stuff and you know, be aware of that stuff. So like it sounds a little long winded, but basically like, I'm just, you know, learning to accept those situations is always the tough part, but is the tough conversation that you need to have with yourself. And you can't have that conversation with yourself. You know, it takes having loved ones with you. And you need to find the loved ones that are actually going to be there for you.
Yeah.
Family could be a messy thing sometimes. I have cousins that I don't like either. But, you know, I think it's really important that, you know, you really tend to those loving relationships, especially when you're dealing with things that are revolving around your family. You have to communicate and be open as possible with that stuff. I definitely let things build up, and I definitely try to be the opposite of that nowadays. Yeah. Just let you know what's up.
Yeah. I'm going to switch it up a little bit.
Yeah.
What about the relationships you have with people that you work with that you consider family?
Yeah.
Like, is that, do you take those the same way or how do you look at your professional working relationship? 100%.
There is, especially when it came to, you know, everything that with speaking specifically with you know, my dad having a stroke and then my, you know, and it's just like, you know, my family, you know, just family, how it is in general.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a weird thing happened where I've always, you know, we always throw out these words like, yo, what's good, bro? Like, what's up, sis? Or like, what's up, family? What's good, cuz?
Right.
But then when things start to actually happen, those words have a different kind of cadence.
Right.
You know, so all those people that, you know, like the Dijons, the Demrays, like Jess, even people I'm not even cool with anymore, like that helped me out throughout those times. It was really important. Like I needed every step of the way. I remember, you know, Mike C is our art director and the third part of the co-founders of Street Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being in Tokyo at Shake Shack and I just broke down and crying like a baby. And then if it wasn't for Mike, like, you know, just being there, like I never, like, it sounds really weird, but like, you know, I missed having like, you know, that male influence, like, you know, the male influence in my life. And then Mike C is like that, like, you know, he's one of my OGs. So, and I wasn't there with like my mom or my sister or like, you know, my cousins, but I was there with like, that new sense of a family. And I throw those words out all the time, but they just start having a different they just have it start. They started to have a different kind of cadence in my life now. So like, if I call you like, "What's up, family? What's up, sis?" Like, I actually mean that shit. Like, I'm not gonna say that, right. And I'm not saying that to people I don't fuck with. Like, right. I was like, you would get the, "Hey, what's up, my guy?"
And, my guy, yeah, that's the one.
That's my,
like,
guy.
The bodega guy.
Yeah, my guy. Yeah, even the bodega dude, that's my man's. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, but yeah, those words. Yeah, those words mean a lot more, especially when it comes to the friendship. So like, the Street Dreams family is definitely my actual family. You know what I mean? I look at them the same way.
Yeah. You could tell. You see it.
But we try to put a lot of love in. I mean, we try to put a lot of love in what we do. And that's why we've been grateful to have this kind of reception over the years. You know, we're doing things because we actually love them. We're not doing it. Like, it's a very simple process.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. We talked a little bit earlier about like legacy.
Yeah.
Like what, especially with like, with like Kobe passing away and rest in peace, Kobe and Gianna.
Forever,
that
honestly.
That shit
was terrible, man.
It's still pretty bad.
Yeah. That's the reluctance of accepting that. But like, I'm so grateful for everything that Kobe was and Gigi and, oh my God, and everybody else affected on that situation.
Yeah.
You know, like every day that I think I'm over it, I wake up and it's like, it's just like a permanent bad taste in my mouth. You know what I mean? Like, Kobe was everything to me. And it's just that, oh yeah. Right. But his legacy speaks for himself, you know?
Right, right. Even before he passed.
Yeah.
Like, he was just fucking the man.
He's always been he's always been the man.
Yeah.
And he's flawed too. So that's the best part about him. I mean, he never ran from anything, and he's completely aware of what's going on. And then on top of that, like, he lets you know that, like, I know that I did this and I'm going to be a better man because of this. And like, and he's actually proved it. You know, how many people can really say that, you know, they fucked up and actually, you know, did something right?
No, a lot of people just keep it moving.
Yeah. Oh, I fucked up, and then just leave it.
Yeah, you know? Just moving forward, like, not acknowledging or addressing anything. But yeah. But how do you think about legacy? How do you think about your legacy, especially with, you know, with illness in your family and you know, passing of an icon that, you know, was your hero?
Like,
how do you think about legacy? Or do you?
I think I'm obsessed with legacy too much.
Okay.
everything to me is legacy. I think that there has to be a level of substance to everything that I do in my life.
Yeah.
And not only that, there has to be, not trying to say, like, you know, walking around like pounding my chest like I'm this superior human being, but like, I really genuinely want to make my family proud. That means everything
same.
To me.
Yeah, same.
It's like, especially like everything that my grandpa went through, like, you know, these dudes is like, he was used to like steal, like when he used to work at at the drive through and in order to feed like my dad and like his, you know, five brothers and sisters, he used to like steal food and put like shrimp in his pocket. That's why they used to call him like Big Shrimp or something like that. Like, then he worked at UPS, you know what I'm saying? And like, you know, then he held it and he moved them up to New York. And like the same thing with like my grandma from Kentucky and like my grandpa from like down south, like they sacrificed a lot. And who am I to say that, like, you know, I'm just nothing against it at all, but I'm just going to do what I have to do and get by.
Right.
Like, fuck that getting by shit. Like, you know, I want to make sure that my family's name rings bells, like, you know, from here to the end of time. And whatever I had to do that, like, I've felt like that before. When I was working at McDonald's, like, I didn't even know what I was going to do. I was just like, man, it's going to be tight. Like, whatever I do is going to be tight. Yeah. And I take that very seriously. And
no, I love your positive outlook always.
I try to really, that's just really important, you know, because, you know, motherfuckers, I get sad too, you know, but I don't want to make that everything, you know.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much more. When it's all said and done, like, are we going to count the days, how many days we were sad?
I mean, that's real shit. Like, what? Do you go to that dark place?
Oh, no, it gets dark.
What takes you there? Let's be real. Tell me.
My own stupidity half the time.
that's fucking real.
I'm not perfect, so I definitely do dumb things all the time. I do things. I have reluctantly destructive personality when I'm sad, a.k.a. I like to drink. You know, and that stuff, I know that is not good because my dad was an alcoholic, and I know that that wasn't good for him also. And he did a lot to get himself out of that place. And like, he did better for himself too. But it's kind of funny that like the sense of your father is something that's so close to you. And it's hilarious. And the older I get, I was like, man, like, you know, maybe they, not to say that I was like, not to say that it's all the time, but it's just something, just the awareness kind of thing, you know, just knowing when to balance it, when to balance and when is enough is too enough. But yeah, when is enough enough, you know what I mean? So, you know, I know that I could be, you know, stupid with, you know, stupid in general, like just like my decision making. And like, sometimes I just try to like, you know, not make rash decisions. And like, you know, it's like, you know what, I'm going to hit you back. I'm gonna hit you up tomorrow. And like, let me sleep on this. Yeah. I try to do that a little bit more.
24 hour rule.
Because I'm confrontational. I'm from, you know, I'm from Queens. Like we had to defend everything. We had to fight, you know, they dropped the bridges over, you know, we had to fight back. You know what I mean? that stuff still rings bells to us. So, you know, I grew up a fighter, and I always, my first instinct is always to fight. Mm. And I try not to, you know, I'm not trying to fight like that anymore.
You getting some fights?
Nah, not anymore. Say that for another day. But no, I'm good. I'm a good boy.
I feel like New Yorkers are like really good at verbal fights.
Yeah, no, we're gonna try to cut deep.
You have a fucking answer for everything. Yeah, even if it's definitely not the right answer, you're just gonna argue.
Like, oh, really? You really just gonna say that? I was like, yeah, word. Like, I'm gonna keep it funky all the time. I was like, if you want to go there, it could get crazy, and I could be wrong, but it's not gonna be over. I'm gonna end that shit though. I could definitely be wrong. I could 100% be wrong, but it will definitely be over. It's just you grow up in such a competitive, a naturally competitive environment. Like, you grew up, and you didn't want to be the kid with the dusty sneakers at school. Like, you didn't want to be the kid wearing like everybody's rocking bugle. I mean, everybody's rocking polo. You don't want to be rocking bugle boy. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of that stuff was a very big deal. Like, I used to bug my mom all the time. Like, man, can we please go to TJ Maxx or Burlington Coat Factory? Because I cannot be wearing like this Izod shirt no more. Like, they're killing me out here. You know,
I'd be like, mom, I need new shoes. She'd be like, let me wash your shoes for you.
Yeah, I got.
Look, you got brand new shoes now.
My parents definitely didn't buy me no sneakers. I mean, I could count the sneakers that I got in high school. Definitely count.
People be sending you sneakers now, right?
I know.
People just, every time I look at your IG, you're like, thank you so-and-so for yet another gift. I feel like gift.
Such a, yo, appreciate you and
nah,
the opportunities.
No, it's all genuine.
Yeah, I mean,
but
it's
what
kinda,
do you do with all the promos? Where are they? Are they just stacked up? You wear them?
So what do I do with the promos? So with the couple of things I do with the promos, like, I burn everything. No, I'm just playing. I donate a lot of that stuff to, like, my homies at the bodega. Like, all the dudes who work at the bodega, those are my people. So every time I get something that's, like, a little bit undersized or, like, there's the wrong size, because that stuff happens all the time, you know, I bless the dudes at the bodega all the time. Like, they gave me, like, this little, they sent me, like, this whole, like, suit before, like, this whole, like, Canadian tuxedo thing. I don't know what it was. But it was tight. You know, I won't say the brand, but it was tight. And I gave it to the homie at the bodega. And the next day I came back, my homie's wearing the whole outfit. Got the whole beanie on and everything at the bodega. Like, that's my man's.
Bless you with, like, egg and cheese in return?
They give you that free credit. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm popped that day, or if I go into the store with, like, $3 worth of quarters. But, yo, man, like, can I just keep this and get the sandwich? And it's like, yeah, oh, it's good, primo, it's good. You're good. But, like, you know, I'm really big on, like, this is, like, the first time, like, I even, like, tell people, like, that I, you know, I donate stuff to like, in general, but like, cause I don't like to make it like, I'm not trying to like make, you know, Instagram videos, and not to say there's anything wrong with it, but I don't like to make this whole, like, I don't like to make it like a whole charade, you know? I really love them. They look out for me, and we went through some times together as well too. Like, you know, one of the bodega people passed away a couple months ago, Rubio. And I remember working, I put him in some of the Knicks campaigns that we had and all that stuff like that. You know, one of the nicest people ever. And then when he passed away, like, it felt like family, you know? So I made sure that that I'm going to be here for you, you know, like, you and my mans. Like,
that's important. It's also your neighborhood too. It's like having a community.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, if everybody's complaining about all this X, Y, and Z and this, it's like, what are you actually doing? Like, to the your own neighbors, your own stores. Like, do you actually hold a conversation with the people who are making your sandwich in the morning? Or like, I don't treat them like they're doing a service. I treat them like they just happen to be behind the counter. It was good. Like, you man, how's your mom's? Like, all that. Like, it's real.
Yeah.
And I try to, like, I don't like being fake about that stuff. Yeah. So that's why I don't really put that on the internet, like, that I do that.
Respect is free.
Respect is free. Always. No, and also, like, free stuff that they send you. So they can have that too.
Yeah. So, like, how do you deal with, like, you have what, like, 100 and almost 200,000 followers on your personal account?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure you're getting hit up left and right for stuff. Like, what, how do you sift through and or respond to people? Like, how do you deal with the volume?
I tried to seed out the people who are actually genuine. And then there's a weird kind of cadence of a genuine question.
Right.
There's a difference between I grew up in a very tough love household. I was like, so my pops was very adamant on my growth, but it wasn't just to bust my balls. It was also to like, for me to be a better man.
Right.
Like there's not going to be anything easy. Like if we had to do like an electrical job or like, you know, throw out some garbage, I'm 13 years old. Like he's not helping me pick up no pieces of sheetrock. I'm going to carry that shit myself, yeah. You know? So I'm not to say that I look at a lot what we're doing, like visual contracting instead of like, I'm not a contractor, but visual contracting is the same kind of concept. So I really would try to help you build your house, but I'm not going to be sitting there holding your hand every step of the way.
Right.
But I will definitely, if you're serious about building,
I'll connect you to the plumber.
Yeah, I will connect you to the plumber. I will connect you to the carpenter, but like, I'm not building this shit for you, yeah. You know, but I will definitely, if you're serious about it and you want to talk about it, and like, I will love to talk about ideas and like, you know, different colors for the walls and et cetera, et cetera, like yeah. All that stuff. But like, you need to be very serious about what you want to do, because if I can't take you seriously, if you don't take yourself seriously.
Word.
And I try to like, I'm like 8 for 10 sometimes. Like sometimes I'm like, sometimes yeah. Some people catch me off guard. It's like,
You having that weird day?
It's like, oh damn.
Yeah. So like if people have like a clear developed kind of like question or something for you to respond to, it's so much easier.
Yeah. Word.
It's instead like, of like, hey man, let's link and build. All about what, bro?
Like, what are you talking about? It's like, you know what? Like, I don't want to link. No, I don't want to link nothing.
I'm
trying to link with my bed.
For real.
And build. but no, I just appreciate genuine, transparent people.
Yeah.
And nobody who's asking for the handout, because I definitely not asking for no handouts, my damn self.
Yeah.
Yeah. I ain't fucking with that.
Tell me, like, obviously no names, but if you have like an experience that you've had on like IG where someone just hit you up and they were like sideways and you're like, what?
This,
I'm sure you've been honestly, getting all kinds of weird stuff.
Honestly, hasn't been nothing recently.
Yeah.
But
like,
you know,
check out my mixtape, bro.
But I will tell you something that happened a while ago. Like, I remember, like, I used to wear a bucket hat all the time, you know, and that was like one of my things. We used to rock the bucket every day.
Yeah.
And, you know, one day I was walking around the city, and like, this is before, you know, I had amassed like, you know, this decent amount of followers. I was just walking around with my headphones, like, you know, do-wa-diddy-diddy-dun-diddy-dee.
Oh,
and some dude came up to me and took my AirPods out of my ear and was like, yo, are you Steve Sweatpants? I was about to knock him out. I was like, are you serious?
You don't do that.
He's like, dog. And now he saw the way I looked at him. He's like, oh, like, I know, like, maybe that wasn't like the thing to do. And then like I still kept it cordial, but I was so disgusted, dog. I was like, that's crazy.
Don't touch my
AirPods. Don't touch my AirPods. My dirty ass AirPods and your dirty fingers. Like all this kind of stuff. It's just a bad combination of things. So my space was, I don't like people like busting that kind of bubble. But for the most part, like I said, like I take the, I understand the totality of the situation. I just try when people get really, if people are aware of who I am and they get really excited, I just try to like be a human being, like, hey, right. Man, I'm just a regular ass dude, dog. Like, I'm Steve. Like, they said, oh, you actually wearing sweatpants today? Oh my God. Like, he's like, yeah, man, it's crazy. So what's your name, dude? Like, right. where are you from? This is like, what the hell? yeah, but I love being normal.
Okay, then. So if you had like any advice for any entrepreneurs or, I mean, established or even up and coming, like, what would it be?
I guess my main piece of advice is to, really be more self-aware of how simple things can be. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't need to make a lot of these situations and to work on certain projects that difficult, you know? Mm-hmm. And I feel like there is... like this weird kind of thing that's going on there where people feel like, you know, the more difficult you make things, that means it's more official or more complicated. I mean, or more like, you know, I have all these moving parts
it's
around.
It's a 20
like,
page contract. Therefore, like, it's legit.
I was like, dog, like, you know, there is a simplicity in life that is important to understand, especially the deeper that we get into the digital age.
Right.
People are smart, you know, and people are aware. So if you don't give people that level of respect by overcomplicating things, but to, you know, for whatever degree, then you're losing. You're just going to lose. So I just stress people to keep it simple. Mm-hmm. if you're actually going to ask somebody, how are you, really mean that.
Right.
And then you will see the fruits of your labor. Like, I really think respect is free, and I think people just need to be more aware of that. And I guess the last thing is give the people their flowers while they're here. I don't have any problems bigging up somebody who I think is really dope. Like, you're cold, you know what I mean? You're doing your thing, and I would love to, you know, just keep on checking it out. Not even, like, to work with you. Just, like, I just want to see you do your thing.
Yeah.
I think people...
supporting people.
I think people are a little bit more reluctant to do that now. I mean, I'm better with doing that now, but I think that we should just hold that paramount for our culture. And, you know, if we could do that now, then that makes it a lot easier for a lot of the kids coming up to not think that, like, you know, we're just a bunch of salty old people. It's like, you know, I'm definitely not. You know, I just don't like whack shit. It's just very simple.
Fair.
So
no, yeah. those are good. I like to keep it simple. That's funny because I have a tattoo right here. It says keep it simple.
Yeah, that's the answer. You need that.
It's a good reminder.
I should put that on my forehead. I look at it every morning.
Well, thanks for coming to Current Mood.
Thank you for having
thanks
me.
Thanks for sharing your current mood.
That was amazing. Okay, that was really cool. Seriously, you've been family since day one, and I'm really proud of you. And aww. I think this is really dope. And I can't wait to see where else it's going to go.
Thanks, dude. Hey, don't forget to subscribe to Current Mood on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Spotify and Anchor and anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Also, join us on Instagram for some super cool visuals at currentmood.io. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. And if you really feel like reaching out, send a message. Tell us what you are feeling, please. Thanks so much.